We're in a sermon series right now entitled The Journey. Last week we looked at the blueprint for the journey. It's man's faith coupled with God's will. It's the journey. This week we're going to look at a brother's journey, and as we do that, we're going to look at Cain and Abel, the first two kids. Other than Adam and Eve, they were created by God, but these children were created by Adam and Eve. So they are the first kids of the White House, if you will. They're the first children of the nation soon to be. And so we read in Genesis chapter 4, the man had relations with his wife, Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So immediately we see between these two brothers, there is a difference. And if you've ever raised children, like I've had the privilege of raising two daughters, then you realize each child has their own personality. Amen? And so you can't deal with them in the same way. If only I had this wisdom back when I was parenting. I should have picked up on the clues when the one daughter, all I had to do was just give her the look. And she was done. The other one, she'd make a good lawyer, folks. She has never followed her passion, but she would make a good lawyer because she would argue me tooth and nail. And we had such a hard time disciplining her. And I have to admit, as a parent, I would get quite exasperated. I wish that she had been like the other that I could just give the look to. And she'd melt. But instead, this one would just raise up. All stubborn. Well, so there was a difference in Cain and Abel. And in fact, in reading this passage and studying it this week, one biblical scholar, unnamed, actually purported that Cain and Abel may have been twins. Because it says that she got pregnant with Cain and had him, but she gave birth to her brother Abel, and it says nothing about her being pregnant again. Read into it what you will. If that takes you closer to Jesus, fine. I'm not going to argue over the semantics of it. However, what we see is that there was a difference between the two boys, Cain being the oldest, being the firstborn. He was a tiller of the ground. Now, please understand the times that we're talking about. Adam and Eve had just been kicked out of the garden, if you will, a place where everything was provided for them. And Adam, because he disobeyed God, was cursed and said, Adam, from now on, you will have to work the soil to eat. In the garden, God had provided everything. But now, man must work to eat. Why have we gotten so far away from that mentality today? That man must eat to be, must work to be able to eat. Instead, we have come into this mindset in today's world that just because we're born, we are entitled. That because we are born, you know, somebody owes me something because I'm fairly special. Well, yes, You are owed something while you are a child in a parent's home. They are to take care of you. They are to teach you how to be successful when that time comes when you fly out of that nest and make your own way in the world. That's a parenting job. It's a big job. It's not one for the faint in heart. It takes a lot of courage to be a parent, and especially today in our world. But God has not changed what we as parents are to teach our children. The number one thing that God has put upon every parent to teach their children is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, with everything that you are. Love God. Cain and Abel. It came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, on his part, also brought in the firstling of his flock and its fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Hebrews 11:4 on your outline. It's inside your bulletin if you want to take that along, because there'll be some fill-ins. And that'll give you something to do, if not a piece of paper to doodle on, in case you get bored by what I'm giving out to you this morning. However, I don't think you're going to get bored. If you are, shame on me. I'll have to do cartwheels or something to keep you going. Hebrews 11, verse 4 says what? It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Loving Heavenly Father, we pause to not be entertained by the words of man, but rather to be challenged by your words this morning. May we be attuned to you right now, and to let everything else just kind of fall away. May our eyes and see, and our ears hear, and our minds dwell and meditate on the truth of your word this morning, because in reality, Lord, that's why we're here. We're here to receive from you. But also, Lord God, just as strong as we are here to receive from you, we are here to give to you our time, our energies, our attention. May they be equal, Lord. And as we draw near to you, as your word says, please draw near to us and speak to us each individually. In Jesus' name, amen. So it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Was it because Abel brought a firstling of his flock? Was it the sacrifice, that the fact that Cain only brought grains and fruit offerings unto God? Well, no, the difference is not in the offering. You see, because both offerings were acceptable to God, both offerings later on, when God would create the way to worship him in the tabernacle, the grains of the ground were just as much honored as the the lamb that was being slain. So it wasn't in what was being given unto God. It was rather in the manner that it was given. Let the difference between these two boys speak to you this morning. In what way do you come to give an offering to God? Are you bringing your firstborn, your first of the flocks? You see, that would have been the choice of the flock, wouldn't it? Your newborn, your brand new one. The one that, I mean, can you imagine at the very beginning of all this creation, Abel chooses to become a shepherd, one who looks out after animals and keeps them around. Why? Well, they weren't on a meat diet. They were still on a vegan diet. So it wasn't so that they could slaughter them and have meat. No, he was a shepherd because he saw through God's taking of the life of a lamb to clothe his mother and father that these sheep and goats had something that would benefit keeping out the cold, that they could also spin the wool and make blankets. We don't know everything that the first people of creation knew, but obviously their understanding that God had given to them was beyond those things that we today know. They were given special talents, special abilities that maybe some of us don't have. Think back to Cain and what he would have to do. He was following after his dad's footsteps. Dad would have to till the ground to bring food for the family. You see, Cain, his name meant possession. That's your first outline. Fill in. Cain meant possession. If you want, the Hebrew word, and I'm going to just show off right now, is Q-A-Y. Either I-N or A-N, whichever way you'd like to spell it. And it meant possession, to take possession, to acquire, to have. So that's exactly what his mother says, that with the help of the Lord, God has given me a man-child. A man-child. I think Cain, in his growth and in his abilities, looked more like a manly man. Whereas Abel, whose name in the Hebrew was Habel. And it meant a vapor or breath. It may have been about his countenance, how maybe he wasn't as muscly and big as Cain was. Out of the two, and you know that's the way it is with your children, unless you're Van Akens and then all your kids are just tall. But one child seems like gets the growth and the other one doesn't. So it was with Cain and Abel. One was more of a man looking. And after all, if you have to cultivate a garden, that's a lot of muscles you're using, right? And we're not saying that Cain could just walk down to Ace Hardware or Home Depot and get a spade or get a pick or get a hoe. No. How did Cain bust up the ground? I've been thinking on this all week long, just going, wow. Did God just open up the hardware store for him? or how did he have to work? He had to work this stuff with his hands. And that was without work gloves. How many of you have tried growing a garden? Some of you, I bet, are very successful. These are black thumbs. The only thing that these thumbs can grow are weeds. Someone came over to my house the other day, and they looked at my garden, and they said, well, what are you growing there? I go, the best thing I can grow, weeds. Well, that's a nice plot of ground you got there. You should be raising some vegetables. I go, I wish I could. I have not been successful at that stuff. Just don't have it. But boy, does my dog love me. That I'm successful at. So in that way, I'm more like Abel. She's not going to produce any puppies. We had that taken care of. However, my dog and I, we love each other. In fact, my wife is a little bit jealous of that. She can come home, and that dog, she'll just lay in the chair, and she might roll her head over just to see it's her. And then she goes right back and is all curled up. But when I come home, that dog is out of the chair, it's at the door, and it's jumping and leaping and tail is wagging. Oh, yeah. I'm able to that dog. I am able to get down and love on her. In fact, my wife is even jealous sometimes because I'll acknowledge the dog before I acknowledge her. My bad. My bad. Yeah, my toast gets burnt because of it, okay? It was by faith that Abel offered a more acceptable offering to God. So what exactly is faith? Let's fill this in on your outline. Because I know some of you A-types, you're going, well, wait a minute, dude, like you didn't like totally skipped over a whole part. I go as God tells me to go, folks. I'm rolling with it. So faith, here is what faith is. Faith is a confident response to God's promises, trusting in what he has spoken and revealed, causing our life and will to be conformed to God's desires or desire. Faith. It's a confident response to God's promises. Somehow, and it's not in the book of Genesis, but somehow, somewhere, God had revealed to Cain and Abel, to Adam and to Eve, that there was a sacrifice that was supposed to be made to him. And there was an appropriate time for that. It was right after the harvest, is what the scriptures say. Abel brought his offering. Can you imagine being a keeper of flocks and your firstborn lamb has come? And you've taken care of it and you've nursed it. You've kept it from being devoured. In fact, you see a lot of pictures of shepherds and they're usually carrying their little lambs. You know, they're kind of like little, I mean, don't we just like kittens and puppies, little pot-bellied pigs, little chickens, little ducks, you know, anything that's little, for some reason we're a little bit attracted to that. But then as they grow up, kind of like some of us, we're not as cute and cuddly anymore. And people don't want to, you know, be showering us with a lot of attention, maybe. But God always wants to shower his attention on you. Somebody needs to hear that again. God always wants to shower his attention on you. But what happens? Oh, we worry more about the things of this world. We're more worried about, you know, about stuff. You know, when you realize that heaven is your dream, when the things of this world no longer mean as much. And you strive more and more for the presence of God. This week, I've just been striving to have more and more of God's presence. And as those words that you walked under as you came in this building, Jeremiah, if you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart. You see, why some of us aren't confident with God is because we don't spend time with God. Pastor, you're getting all up in my grill right now. No, I'm not. But God's trying to. God's trying to get intimate with you. That's his greatest desire. That's why he created you. He didn't create you to be a success in this world. Success is of the world. That's the system that the world created. What God wants you to be successful about, here it is, bottom line. You can write this down if you want to, if you have to remember this. Maybe tell yourself this every day. What God wants me to be successful about is my intimate relationship with him. He wants me to know more than anything else. Number one, he loves me. And my response to his loving me is I love him. It's not about religion, folks. It's about accepting the very grace of God. It's not about following each and every little command. As if God had a list for you to try to attain. God has one thing for you to do. Love him. And know that you are loved. You can't do enough to get into heaven. You can't follow enough rules to get into heaven. But what you can do, and I dare you to try this. Try to outlove God. Try to outlove God. And realize that God loved you so much that he gave up his firstborn. You see, that's what Abel brought to the Lord. He brought a sign of love to God. Whereas Cain just, he picked up some stuff. It wasn't the best stuff. No, he was saving the best stuff for himself. And sometimes I think that's what happens in church. Uh-oh. Pastor, you're stepping on my toes now. We give God pieces and portions instead of giving him the best. Is your God able to supply all your needs? Is God able to supply all your needs?
Yes.
Is God able to supply all your needs? Then why don't you give him his portion? What does God ask for? He doesn't demand it, but he asks for 10% of everything that you have. 10% of it. You get to keep the 90. Oh, I knew I'd hear a message about giving. I knew that that was going to happen. It happens anytime I go to church. All they want to talk about is money. No, I don't want to talk about your money. I want to talk about your heart. Are you going to have a heart like Cain? Or are you going to have a heart like Abel? What did Abel bring? Firstlings of his flock with their fat portions. Cain just brought an offering of fruit that was on the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I had a peach tree in my front yard. My parents really liked peaches. The peaches that I would find on the ground usually had some damage to them. Either birds had pecked through them, or worms had gotten to them, or the birds had pecked their way and then the worms got in. The worms go in, the worms down. Sorry. Control this mind, will you, Lord? Come on. I asked you to. But the fruit that's on the ground is not the fruit that you would pick up and take in and put it on your dinner table, is it? But that's exactly what Cain was bringing to God. And sometimes that's what we bring to God. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. My life is so busy. I just don't have time for the things of the church. It seems like we're there all the time. Really? There's only a couple people that I know that are at church all the time. One is named Shirley. And we're glad for that. Although there are times when I go into her office and I beg her to go home. Will you go home? You've been here long enough. Your work's done. Go, girl. Be released. But she's got such a dedication to this church. Yeah. Myself. Brother John. My wife. Brother Dan McGeary. He doesn't want to be talked about, so I'm not going to talk about him. But if you notice how nice the hedges and everything are taken care of on the outside, that's Brother Dan McGeary. Now he's embarrassed, and I'm going to hear about that later. But that's okay. I can take those hits. Some people think, well, I've been to church once a week, or I've been to church once this month, so I'm really doing the God thing. Woohoo! Man, what do they want out of me? It's not what do we want. What does God deserve? Does God deserve your fruits that you've just picked up? Here, God, take that, will you? I come to church with an... If you came to church this morning because you felt like you had to, then don't. Then don't. But if you came to church because you wanted to, because you desired to fellowship with others, where else can you do what we're doing here this morning? Where else can you gather and sing songs of praise and worship and to have your heart and mind set on the things of God rather than worrying about, well, are the Clippers going to win the game tonight? Really? They could be eliminated, you know. Who cares? There are some avid basketball players, watchers, Sharon, there really are. And they really do concern themselves about that. But honestly, if you're not here for God, you're here for the wrong reasons. See, that's what happens in churches too often.
Well, Pastor, you didn't sing my song this morning. You didn't sing the songs I wanted you to sing. So, man, I wish you could chink up that worship team a little bit more and sing the songs that I want.
See, that's the problem. It's what you want. Instead of, but what does God want? You know what God wants? He wants your heart in whatever music is presented. Yes, you've got tastes. Yes, you've got a heart music that just beats and it pounds to you. Church ain't about you. Church is about God. And if you have made it anything else, then you've made it the wrong reason to be here. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Fellowship with each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In the 17 and a half years that I have been here as pastor, shame on me that I have not had a week-long revival in this church. Thursday is called National Day of Prayer. This church is going to be open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. I hope I might find some of you here seeking God's favor for our nation. Our president just finished up his first 100 days, and he has been hitting roadblock after roadblock. We have one victory so far, Gorsuch, a Supreme Court justice that has the same values that so many of us cherish. We need to be here praying for our nation Thursday. We have Bible study that's being well taught by Willie Anderson on Wednesday evenings. We have a women's Bible study and a men's Bible study. Pastor John teaches the men's Bible study on Tuesday morning. Suzanne, my wife, teaches Tuesday morning. It'd sure be good to see some new faces at these events. People hungering and thirsting for more of the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I can't make Tuesday mornings. Fine. I can't make Wednesday nights. Okay. So what Bible study are you going to start up then? If those times are inconvenient for you, then when can you meet together with at least two or three others and discuss the Word of God together? Because it's not until you get together with others and you start discussing what this book means to you that you will really get it. And some of us, because we come from a variety of different churches and different backgrounds, we might even have some religious beliefs in our brain that are not necessarily scriptural. Because if we at all throw out God's grace, then we are a people to be pitied more than anyone else. The whole reason why you have the ability to have a relationship with God is because God graciously looked down upon the world and said, without the sacrifice of my son, Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of those people who will ask for forgiveness, they will have nothing of my kingdom. Nothing. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. It's not your works. It's not how many good things you do. It's about how well do you know God. God said to Cain, going back to your outline, you will be accepted if you do what is right. So how would Cain know what was right if God had not revealed to Cain what was right? You see, God won't call you to do something that he won't also empower you with the ability to see it through. Trust me, 20 years ago, I began a journey as a professional pastor. Before that, I never would have thought of taking this job on. And without the Spirit of God, I cannot stand in this pulpit and do what I do. So what makes you think that you can follow after Christ without the Spirit of God? And what is the Spirit of God? This is the Spirit of God, your Bible. God's Spirit is revealed here. So if you're not studying it with other people, who are you shortchanging? God or you?
The answer is B.
But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at your door, eager to what? Control you. You see, sin wants to control you. How many of you have been under the influence of sin? Amen. Every hand should be up. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here's the good news. God has given you an ability to rise above your sin. And you can live victoriously through the power of God's word. What did God say to Cain at the end? You must what? Subdue it. And what? Be its master. Who's its? Sin. We're not to be controlled by sin. We are to control those sinful desires. They will always come at us. Those desires will always come at us. They're called temptation. Temptation will always keep knocking. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to slam the door on temptation and say, I am a child of God. I am going to confidently respond to God's promises. I'm going to trust in what he has spoken and what he has revealed, and I'm going to conform my life and my will to his desires, not my desires. See, that's where I got in trouble in life. I was living for my desire, not realizing that God made me. God has a reason and a plan for me being alive. And when I came to that knowledge of that, and I resigned myself to him, I fell before him and said, Lord, please forgive me. Now, does that mean I don't err still? Folks, I'm just as much human as you are. Just because I'm a pastor, I'm not above temptation coming and knocking on my door. But sin is willful disobedience to God. Sin is willful disobedience to God. And I admit, although I'm not proud of it, sin is a momentary pleasure, giving up the eternal for the momentary. That's what sin is. It's realizing that heaven doesn't mean as much to me as does this earthly pleasure. Woohoo! Wow, is this a lot of fun? Woohoo! And you're going to woohoo all the way to hell. Because hell is the absence of God. Whereas heaven is the very presence, the very essence of God. So what are you practicing? Heaven or hell? And is it out of a spirit of love? Because if it's just out of a spirit of obedience, 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 you'll never make it. The law never had a plan for salvation. Only Jesus has a plan of salvation. Believe in me and you will be saved. Not believe in keeping the letter of the law. It doesn't work with God. Jesus tore everything up. He tore the veil apart. Why? So that you and I can come into the Holy of Holies. We can commune with the God Almighty who created all things and for whom all things have been created. Now I'm getting a little wound up. But here's the last point. Here's the last point, and you really need to get this one. You really need to nail this one home. God still says, be holy, for you know that I am holy. You see, some of you are playing the game with God. You're not all in yet. And that's who I want to be talking to. Those of you who are all in, are all about teaching others about God, you're all in. But if you're not sharing your faith with anybody, if you're not mentoring anyone, then you're disobeying God's word. And if you're disobeying God's word, what he gave to each and every one of us, this commission, that we are to make disciples. We're to make followers of God. If you are not mentoring someone in your life towards a relationship with God, then you're bringing the fruit of Cain into the house of God. Disciple someone. Talk to some new Christian. Talk to an older Christian if you're a newer Christian and you need to be taught in the ways of the Lord. It's the way it's been passed down ever since Christ. Christ discipled his 12, those 12 went out and they discipled others. It is the model for the church today. We are to be mentoring one another. Well, Pastor, I don't quite understand how to do that. Then show up this Saturday between 8 and 11. Mentoring his way will be presented here. For the men, we're going to be down in Noble Hall. For the women, it's going to be up here. But Pastor, it's going to cost me some money to do that. Yeah, $20. You're going to get fed, but you're also going to get challenged. And the challenge is to disciple others. Pastor, I sure would like to see some growth in this church. Yeah, so would I. Spiritual growth. I'd like to see, you know, we've got an older congregation here, and don't take offense at that whatsoever. Y'all have been walking with the Lord for a long time. You need to be sharing that information with someone else. You want to see some younger lives brought in? Find a younger life. See value in it. And mentor it into a right relationship with God Almighty. Okay, I'm winding down. My sugar level is starting to fall. Got cookies? Woohoo! Just give me a piece of candy right now, I'll be good. So what's your walk like today? Do you need a cane? Or are you able? Woo! I didn't have that one written down. You made your child proud this morning. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one of us would really look at our heart. What is going to be the summation of our life, Lord? You've given me the privilege of doing a couple of funerals in the last week. And these lives didn't have much to do with you. There wasn't a whole lot to talk about. But Lord, when your saints go home, oh, there's much to talk about. There's so much more happiness. Because we have this assurance that those saints are treasured by you. Father, what kind of an offering are we going to bring to you today? Have we already decided in our heart what we've set aside for you? Or are we just going to give you table scraps? I pray, Lord God, that we would bring the fatty portions. Not because you need it, but because we need it. You need to see that obedience in us. You bless obedience, Lord. You bless obedience. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.